Well, thank you very much, Rick, and thank you very much, Teo, for joining us for both the panel session and the interview with Rick. Next up, Rick will be staying with us as we welcome back Zach Flood, President, CEO, Director, and Co-Founder of Kinnearland Minerals Limited. Zach is an economic exploration geologist with experience focused on various commodities over the past 15 years. He co-founded Kinnearland Minerals in 2016, and prior to that, he did spend numerous years within Ivanhoe Group, undertaking project generation and business development, including evaluation of early to advanced stage M&A opportunities in the mining sector. So without further ado, Rick, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you so much, Remy. Zach, welcome. First of all, I'm delighted to say I have conflicts of interest here too. I'm a fairly large shareholder of Kinnearland and have been for some time. So thank you for your efforts on my behalf, and thank you too for your agreeing to sponsor or co-sponsor the Prospect Generators Workshop after the pleasantries are done. Let's begin, by the way, I began with Teo. Tell me something about who you are and why you where you came from. Establish some credibility. Tell my audience why they ought to care what you have to say.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm a exploration geologist. That's my background. That's what I've been doing my entire life, and I've been exposed to it from a very young age. My father was in the business as well. He had a lot of success with Robert Friedland and the original Ivanhoe mines. So, kind of grew up in the industry. I've worked all over the world throughout the project pipeline, from really greenfield projects to advanced stages of exploration and pre-development. I think, you know, when we started the company in 2016, we focused on grassroots exploration. That is my passion. That's what Kinnearland's good at. We made a couple discoveries so far. So I think the track record speaks for itself as well.
I think you've been unduly modest, in fact, and so I'm going to amplify that. Many people on this call won't know the company that you grew up in, which is to say the Ivanhoe Group of companies. Robert Friedland has been, I would suggest, the most successful mine exploration financier of my generation. Your father, rest in peace, was, in terms of junior geology, a legend. I think it's just important to say that you were from the cradle exposed to the real epicenter of mine finance creativity. Did you ever, and I'm not asking you this rhetorically, I don't know, did you ever prior to founding your own company work outside of the Ivanhoe orbit, or have you always prior to your own company been involved with Robert and the Ivanhoe Group?
No, I definitely worked for a number of juniors, which was a great experience. You could see, you know, what companies do right and what they do wrong. A lot of juniors, I think, get it wrong, and that's why there's such a low success rate. And it was great to be exposed to that end of the industry as well. But ultimately, when I landed in the Ivanhoe Group, I was exposed to real scale and big picture thinking. And I think that was key. That was a key experience for me. And that's what we carried over to Kinnearland. And we tried to emulate that. We still do today. And I think what Robert's done really well is he has the ability to really scale up exploration. And, you know, he's drilling nonstop all the time, all over the world. You know, he spends probably $100 million every 10 years or so testing new targets. And unfortunately, in a junior company, it's very difficult to do that with a high cost of capital. But again, this is why we started Kinnearland and focused on project generation. So we could potentially expose our shareholders to $100 million of exploration, which we have done over the last 7 years. And I think that directly relates to this exploration success.
Let's talk about the value in Kinnearland today. Let's talk first of all about cash relative to enterprise value. And let's talk too about the potential value of the royalty interest that you have in the joint venture with Sumitomo. In other words, let's compare the value of the sum of the parts to the price of the whole.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do. I think in Kinnearland, we have some real intrinsic value. Currently, our market cap's around $45 million. We have $20 million in cash, another $3 or $4 million in equity and other companies. So you're looking at about a $20 million EV. The royalty we have was generated through a partnership we had with Sumitomo Metal Mining, where we made a large high-grade gold discovery in northern Quebec. We converted our minority interest to a 4% net smelter return royalty. And that project has now about, you know, over 200 drill holes and 100,000 meters into it. And it's tracking along quite well into advanced exploration. Looks, from my perspective, to be potentially an economic mineral system. And if that's the case and it becomes a mine, you know, a 4% net smelter royalty on, say, 3 million ounces, which is, I think, very achievable, could generate over $200 million US in revenue over the life of mine. And that costs nothing for Kenderland. We have no costs associated with this asset. It's all upside for our shareholders.
So tell us, I think it's fair to say that if you put a prospective value on the royalty and you're trying to explain away the $20 million in market cap that you have in excess of cash and securities, that it's pretty easy to understand that the price of the whole is at a discount to the value, the sum of the value of the parts. Let's talk about your other assets. Let's talk about the projects that you have joint ventured out and the projects that you haven't joint ventured out. In other words, tell us what's coming up in Kenderland that we're getting in effect for free.
Sounds good. Yeah. So there's in the pipeline outside of the royalty, there's seven projects that are being funded by partners right now. Three of those partners are major mining companies, including Sumitomo on two other projects, Centerra and Newmont as well, and then four other juniors. So we have a large portfolio that's being advanced by partners. There's about $20 million being spent on that this year. But on top of that, we have grown our portfolio massively over the last year or two by staking additional ground. So this year, there's another 400,000 hectares just in Ontario and Quebec alone that's going to be being advanced with really early stage exploration that we're funding ourselves. We have about a $5 million sole funded budget. So about $25 million being spent on the portfolio as a whole in 2024. But I think it's important to recognize within this pipeline, we have targets that are going to be drill tested within the next year. You know, there's early indications of areas that we're going to be doing follow-up on that will get to the drill state or the target stage within the next year. And then there's properties which are completely green that we're doing the first pass work on. So the idea is always to advance the entire pipeline so you're continually drill testing new projects, new targets every year. And that's really what the shareholders, I think, need to look at is the blue sky potential in the portfolio as well.
One of the things that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I seem to have noticed as a shareholder of Kenderland has been a shift in focus out of Alaska and back into Eastern Canada. First of all, is that perception correct? And secondly, if so, why?
Yeah, that perception is correct. The mineral potential in Alaska is incredible, but it's also an incredibly challenging place to work. The costs are higher. You're more remote, so infrastructure is challenging, and that just means that your threshold of economic success is that much greater. When you're working in Ontario and Quebec near highways and power lines, if you find a 2 million or 3 million ounce deposit, there's a good chance that someone could take that into development and production. And there's a lot more players in those areas that are looking to acquire and advance projects as well. So you could say our audience of potential investors or partners is much greater too. So I think that's really been, you know, we started in Eastern Canada and Quebec, grew into Ontario and Manitoba. At the same time, we were working in Alaska, but you know, it's all about managing risk, I think. And it seems to me probably lower risk, higher probability of finding something that will become a mine in Ontario or Quebec.
I have to believe that the size of your land package in the Canadian Archean ends up being a durable strategic advantage. Again, disabuse me if I'm wrong, but my guess is that relative to historic norms, the last 5 years has seen less emphasis on gold exploration and less emphasis. Do you think it would be possible to assemble a land package in Ontario and Quebec in known Archean greenstone belts of this dimension today?
No, not anymore. I mean, there's just no more open ground. If there was, Kennerland had already staked it within the last year. So we have a policy of stake first, ask questions later. It's the cheapest way to acquire mineral rights. So if there's any open ground out there in that you can consolidate, you need a large area. You don't want to be staking postage stamps, but we've staked an incredible amount of ground, and it's all being worked very systematically too. And that's the key is being able, you know, to implement a strategy that will effectively explore those large areas and whittle them down to a drill target as efficiently and as quickly as possible. And the reason why we're so hell-bent on this strategy is because we did this up in the Frotet Evans Belt in northern Quebec, and where a lot of people historically said, hey, this has been, you know, explored. There's been lots of people who've prospected these areas, but sure enough, we turned up a big high-grade gold system right off the highway. If we could do it there, we can definitely do it again. And we have done it again elsewhere as well. Nothing that looks quite as economically intriguing as Renault, but I have a very high confidence that we'll find other deposits out there as well.
My mentor, or one of my mentors in generative exploration, was Adolf Lundin, rest in peace, who told me once that in exploration you make money using new ideas in old places or old ideas in new places. Tell me something about how you went into a pretty explored terrain, which is to say the Canadian Archean, and made a discovery. Tell me something about, are you using new ideas in old places, or is this old place less explored than other people believe?
Yeah, it's really the strategy, and you can actually see what other people have done in Ontario and Quebec and Manitoba and lots of places in Canada. All of the historical exploration has been filed and it's publicly available, so you can see, you know, all the maps and the reports of what all the other companies have done in areas. So we've taken a lot of that data and turned it, you know, leveraged it to understand where there has been less exploration or not the type of exploration that we're doing. And the type of exploration we're doing is large-scale geochemical surveys. A lot of these belts are covered with glacial material, so the bedrock's not exposed. And the way to screen them effectively is to carry out, you know, really large-scale geochemical surveys. And that is what we're doing. It's a conventional method, but we're doing it in areas that no one's done these surveys before. And it has proven, again, to be quite effective at making new discoveries.
Finally, we just have a minute left, and this question is more educational for our audience than anything else. You worked at what is arguably one of the most successful junior groups that ever existed, which is to say Ivanhoe. Your partners of choice these days are the majors. Can you talk to me about the difference between major partners and junior partners? The juniors may be quicker, they may have less access to capital, but in Eastern Canada, with access to flow through, arguably their cost of capital is sub-zero. So talk to me about the difference between partnering with majors and partnering with juniors, understanding that you don't partner with juniors normally.
Yeah, that's right. When it comes down to time and patience, and juniors don't have a lot of either. So you're kind of left with working with a major who understands that it's going to take 3 years to begin exploration in an area and then to get to be drill testing new targets. 3 years is a long time for a junior to put out its first press release on a, you know, initial drill program. So that's just why we're working with more so majors.
Well, Zach, thank you again for your efforts on behalf of shareholders, particularly this one. And thank you too for your ongoing sponsorship of the Prospect Generators Bootcamp, and of course our Boca Raton Conference. It's a delight to have you with us. Thank you.